Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, we'll talk to the Goth Ninjas in just 1 second, but did you know that the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score and have no idea how to get them? Well, ScoreMaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. Forget raising your credit score a few points. The average ScoreMaster user raises their credit score 61 points in just 20 days or less. 61 points. Trust me, I follow my score religiously, and that is... unheard of. Say your credit score was in the high 500s to mid 600s when you bought that new car. If you'd gone to ScoreMaster first and raised your credit score just the average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. And if you'd gone to ScoreMaster before applying for a home loan and raised your score just the average 61 points, you could have saved almost $100,000 over the life of your loan. ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Visit ScoreMaster.com/offer. ScoreMaster.com/offer. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I wanted to see you before.
You have to leave now and never come back here. Have you ever heard of insect politics? Neither have I. Insects don't have politics. They're very brutal. No compassion. No compromise. We can't trust the insect. I'd like to become the first insect politician. You see, I'd like to, but... Oh, I'm afraid,
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'm saying I'm an insect who dreamt he was a man and loved it. But now the dream is over and the insect is awake.
No, sir.
I'm saying... I'll hurt you this day.
Bob Zeska!
Bob! Bob! Bob!
The Bob Zeska Show.
I'm sorry, I had to do it. I couldn't help myself. You know, look, if Saturday Night Live is going to have a fly in their debate sketch this weekend, it's got to be Jeff Goldblum. I swear to God. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, Rocktober 8, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,358 of the Trump crisis, 26 days until the 2020 presidential election. We're actually in it right now, but we're less than 4 weeks away. So let's bring him in. It's the Goth Ninja. It is David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast. Also from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Also, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. And Jody T-Rex Hamilton from the from the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com. Also at sexyhumble.com. Yes, you did.
We did.
Jesus.
Don't tell our respective husbands.
Right. That's right. I'll keep that quite secret. Your theropod marriage. Your is that even legal? I think Mike Pence is trying to outlaw that. So you guys better look out. Yeah.
You know, this friend of mine used to drive an old Chevy Vega, and he would always say, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas."
There you go. Dad jokes.
Yeah.
It was a very shady car. We did some very shady stuff.
Shit. Oh, my God. So lots to talk about today. Obviously, we're going to talk about the vice presidential debate last night. Lots of references to flies, obviously. Oh, there's Mike Pence. There he is. This is what it sounded like. Half the debate last night was... It's just a fly buzzing around a phone on vibrate. That's what Mike Pence's half of the debate was last night. Talking right over Susan
and
Page.
And one bloody eye.
Yeah, one eyeball appearing to fill with blood. Oh, my God. So much to get into.
Pink eye is a symptom of COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Yeah, and I love John Fugelsang's joke from last night. Kamala Harris looks like she's having fun. Mike Pence looks like he's having conjunctivitis.
And a stroke.
Yeah, thank
you. His mouth was kind of drowned around this... There's so much Botox in his forehead. It's just, I mean, he really does look like a Ferengi or something.
Yes, he looks like Rene Auberjonois. He looks like Odo from Deep Space Nine. Or there's a second choice, one of the aliens from Cocoon. Because I'm leaning more toward one of the aliens from Cocoon, even though they were a benevolent race of aliens. True. So that may not.
But there's nothing worse than a frisky old person.
All right. Well, we've got some announcements before we go down the vice presidential debate road today. Next Wednesday, just a big announcement. Next Wednesday, my guest on my interview show will be the great Nick Lutzko. Nick Lutzko is coming to the show next Wednesday. And then we're going to go to a boat parade. I can't wait.
Just, you know, in the midst of everything that's going on, I had completely forgotten about the boat parade.
I know. Oh, man. Oh, I can't wait to talk to Nick Lutzko on the show. Not only to ask him about all of these great songs, like, you know, Boat Parade. Boat Parade. But also, he records legitimate music with a band. And they, you know, normally...
I hope so. He's very talented.
Yeah. He's got a great Spotify page where he's got all of his... I mean, I call it legitimate. It's all legitimate music. It's just part of it's funny. And that's the stuff that we play here on this show, you know, including Boat Parade. But on
and the Dan Bongino song. Everybody's pony. I'm like, it's like Whiskey a Go Go in 1981, you know?
God, every time I see Bongino on Twitter now, man, I think of the man in the stairs.
Oh, man, I've watched him so long ago.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So good. But then, you know, also he's got the serious music on his Spotify page. He's got albums out and singles and EPs and it's amazing music. It is so innovative and interesting and fascinating to listen to because it's not your typical kind of music. I mean, one of the musicians in his band just plays xylophone. So, I mean, it's an interesting combination. So you can find Nick Lutzko on Spotify just by searching the name Nick Lutzko, Lutsko. Plus, I'm trying to get him to perform a couple of live acoustic tracks on the show, but I can't guarantee anything. We haven't resolved, you know, all the bullshit technical side of things. Usually, you know, I do all the phone interviews, but with musicians, I like to do, you know, what we normally use to connect with you guys, with the Goth Ninjas or with Buzz. I like to use that platform so it sounds really nice and we can have a nice acoustic performance. So we're still working all that crap out. Meanwhile, we're going to play his latest Twitter song about Spirit Halloween stores. That's coming up on the Postmortem Show. So if you want to hear that, you got to subscribe for $5 a month. You get a couple of Postmortem shows every week. We record them right after the, we call them end credits, but right after the end theme is done playing, we just keep on talking. That's the Postmortem Show. And we make that available on our Patreon page. So go and sign up. Okay. So with all that out of the way...
Enough about you, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to premiere the latest single from Astral Summer on today's show also. Plus, we've got some Rocky Mountain Mike. In fact, let's play Rocky Mountain Mike's latest. Did you see this coming down Main Street? Well,
oh, yeah. No.
Here it is.
Here it is.
What do you think this one's about? I don't know.
Well, they started out and my head explodes. Acted like he was all alone. Saw something buzzing around. I thought it'd land on his nose. Well, my mood picked up. Everyone got still. I'm loving that fly. Loving that fly. These tiny wings.
Tiny wings.
Come on now.
Come on now.
She's a badass thing.
Badass thing.
Wow. Oh, there it is.
Wasn't there a thing in The Omen or something that flies followed him around or something?
Yeah, like yeah. And one of the sounds in The Exorcist, I think, like one of the sounds when Reagan's really satanic, like really possessed, is like the sound of a fly buzzing. And I think somewhere in there is the pigs squealing or something. I don't know. There it is. There's Mike Pence, the fly on his head. Lots of fly jokes last night. My favorite fly joke was, of course, everyone's favorite fly joke, because everyone immediately ripped it off from the first person who made the fly joke, and that is that the fly is Mike Pence's only black friend. So, yeah.
It's still funny.
It is still funny. And then my second favorite joke was actually Michael McKeon's joke. And after a bunch of fly jokes had already come down on Twitter, Michael McKeon tweeted, "Oh, good, we all saw the fly." It's like very obviously everyone noticed the fly, and then everyone had to make a joke about the fly, myself included. I made my fair share of jokes. Like the fly probably has COVID now. I think I was one of the first to,
yeah.
make that joke. Because
I just wonder if his whole life has Mike Pence ever let a woman finish?
No. That's a good joke. That's a good one.
Thank you. It's not mine. Yeah.
That's a good one.
From somebody
that's a good
on Twitter.
One.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Mike Pence not only had a fly in his head, but his eye appeared to fill with blood for some reason. There was something wrong with his eye, like he had
a stroke on stage.
Yeah, like Trump held him down and farted right into his eyeball. It was just like,
ew.
I'm sorry, I have to go there. There's a scene, isn't there a scene in Knocked Up where they all fart in each other's faces?
Yes, and they all get pink eye.
They all get pink eye.
Yep.
Exactly right. Oh, man. But, I mean, that was no excuse for why he was acting like a sexist son of a fucking bitch last night. Just steamrolling right over Susan Page. And Susan Page, the moderator from USA Today, once again, just letting Mike Pence and, you know, it was the same with Chris Wallace before, just letting, the Republicans, whether it was Trump or Pence, just steamroll. Just do this. Ignore the rules. It doesn't matter. The rules are completely irrelevant. We're just going to keep on talking, and we're going to do it in this sane tone of voice. And so we're going to trick everybody.
It's so
into
contemptuous.
Thinking,
like, yeah. They just can't believe that they have to stand here and answer these questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, ugh, stupid democracy. It's so boring.
Oh, no, we don't have a democracy, according to Mike Lee.
So, yeah.
It smells like victory.
I mean, there was one point where Kamala Harris had 2 minutes, and then Mike Pence jumped in after like the first 5 seconds and then would not stop talking. Interrupted right away, but it wasn't just Senator, that's ridiculous. It wasn't like that kind of interruption. It was, I've got a big chunk of things to say here, and so everyone better fucking listen to me. And he kept going and going and going. At one point, everyone was wondering, is Susan Page even still in the room?
Right, yeah. Is she falling asleep?
I joked at one point, I said, I just looked outside my window. I saw Susan Page walking her dog past my house. It's just like, where is she?
I saw her flying a kite out in the meadow.
Right after the debate, Anderson Cooper said on CNN, Harris had a smile on her face and he had a bloody eye and a fly on his head.
Yep.
Jesus, God. But yeah, I mean, Kamala Harris
was a happy warrior last night, and I felt like she brought it. Yeah. I kind of could have had a little more mamala, you know, like that, like look that anyone who's ever known a black mom has learned to fear.
Yeah.
Like, you shut your mouth.
Oh,
like,
we definitely, we saw, like, I mean, based on what I was reading on Twitter, we definitely saw some of that. I mean, a lot of people noticing, oh, hey, I've seen that look before. But I mean, the main thing was, it was like Kamala Harris had been doing this, you know, debating at this level, at the presidential level, her entire life. I mean, she was cool as a fucking cucumber last night. And it was such a nice thing to observe, where I felt like every time Kamala opened her mouth, I didn't feel like I had to be worried or nervous, like what might come out here. And even with Joe Biden, I get a little on edge every time he starts talking, like, well, where is he going to go? What's he gonna, is he going to do something weird here? Is he going to start talking about corn pop or whatever? And so I do get a little off balance when I hear Joe Biden speaking. And it's the way he's always been. I mean, you ask anybody who's been following Joe Biden since like the 70s and 80s knows that Joe Biden has always been a gaffe machine. I mean, going back to the...
I am amazed. I mean, come on. When was his last... I mean, he really has been on message, on discipline.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this isn't like saying things that are factually inaccurate or any sort of gaffe that is... That's going to collapse the ceiling on top of anybody. Joe Biden's gaffes are just silly fuck ups. They're not that bad. But I still, you know, I still get a little nervous when he starts talking anyway. It's just he's got that kind of freewheeling style. Like you never know which way he's going to go with something. But with Kamala Harris, I felt completely at ease. Like, okay, she's got this entirely handled. And Mike Pence, for his part, on top of being a dick, here's the thing about Mike Pence. I was referring to Mike Pence last night as a Jesus droid because he's he's like half robot, half like televangelist. It's like he went to like a media training seminar and took everything to heart. Like, oh my God.
He put on the blandest possible human suit in his transition.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's really, it's like, I mean, that is like the plain white wrapper over a boiling cauldron of religious hysteria.
That's, you just topped the fuck out of me right there, Mr. T-Rex. That was very, very well said, yes.
And I feel like it's kind of like the sugar on a creme brulee. Like, it's so easily cracked and punctured and, like, the crazy comes out. You know, like, the only time he really came to life last night was when it came to restricting women's rights to make decisions about their bodies.
Yeah. Here's my impression of Mike Pence. This is a typical Mike Pence thing. He's going to throw something fucking insane into a phrase that otherwise sounds completely normal, where he goes, Susan, and he always does this thing where he goes, Susan, the Democrats want to execute babies in their cribs. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. President Trump knows it. And it's just like, what the fuck did you just put in there? You just packaged this crazy fucking thing right in the middle of sounding like generic politician. You know those.
Well, he really had nothing
cats.
Last night. That was the one thing I noticed, is that he had nothing. He had no achievements to point to, and he just kept circling back to the same stale talking points about raising taxes and liberals.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, dude, she's just said six times in a row, Joe Biden will not raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. I mean, he definitely like handed her the opportunity to hammer that home. I mean, everybody knows that now.
Yeah.
Because she must have had to say it 11 times. It totally reminds me of like when I was reading an interview with Bjork.
Yeah.
Bjork, however you want to call her.
What did you call her, Bjork?
Bjork is the proper pronunciation, actually.
I didn't know that. I was just going with the vulgar Bjork.
Well, she got the umlauts. And when it's over an O, it always makes it E.
Okay,
but anyway,
gotcha.
So she was saying that she was glad to be on a solo performer now instead of being in a band with a bunch of dudes, because she's like, when you're a girl in a band, you have to spend a lot of time lobbying to make guys think that your idea is their idea.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And everything that a man says once, you have to say five times. And it was exactly like that being a gay guy in a band with a bunch of straight guys back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, and like anyone who's had to live through that, like watched Mike Pence last night, just blandly, you know, lying into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it like really like the he was so rigid and corpse-like.
Yes.
That when the fly landed, it just seemed like, of course, there's a fly landing on him and getting stuck in his hair.
Exactly.
I mean, what you couldn't hear was the tiny grunting of the trying to tear itself loose from the Aquanet. You know, it was just like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he just couldn't.
And finally, it was so bored, it just fell off.
Sorry, this guy is even boring to a fly.
The one time his forehead moved when he like raised his eyebrows at something Kamala Harris said, that was when his eyes started to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the effort was so intense past the Botox. It was like for you or me to lift 180 pounds for him to just raise his eyebrows.
Well, I mean, substantively, I think the biggest takeaway from last night was, as you were just saying, David, is the sexism, the misogyny on display from Mike Pence. And quite honestly, it's not reserved to Mike Pence. It could have been any random Republican guy sitting in that place, and they would have done the exact same fucking thing. I noticed a tweet today from Matthew Dowd who said, I've been thinking a lot about the VP debate. I think many people are unaware about the level of misogyny and disrespect to women that is embedded in our society and in many of ourselves. We need to constantly work to excuse it in our own lives. I don't know. I think he meant our own lives and in our communities. Of course, women are aware of that. Women are well aware of that. Significant cross section of men just don't have no idea what they're manifesting. Obviously, you know, I got to always put in the hashtag not all men, you know, because I'm not saying all men, but I would say a significant number of men in order to make a difference in how we make decisions in this country with regard to women in leadership. Because clearly what the Hillary Clinton loss 4 years ago represented was not only the Russian attack, which had a big part of it, but what Russia was doing with a lot of the agitprop and disinformation that they were spreading through social media, it was directed at misogynistic men. It was a way to scare the fuck out of men thinking that Hillary Clinton was going to come into office and immediately like chemically castrate all of them or something.
Well, and treat them like women have been treated.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
What, I mean, that's what the screaming, angry white guy at the corner of the bar is the most afraid of, is that everyone's going to treat him like he's treated them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know? And it's just like, oh, we're gay people. We have full citizenship. We're just as much as. And I can't fucking believe Alito and Thomas trying to overturn Obergefell. And it's just like, this is my life you're talking about. Fucking stooges, you ghouls. I mean, you fucking cross-carrying, gun-toting freaks. Like, it's just like, get out of my, just leave me alone. It's between me and God and my husband and maybe our county clerk, but like, just back off, get out of. I mean, just, if you're against abortion, don't fucking have one. It's just like that simple. The hypocrisy when you see the piece in the New York Times about the child separation policy was orchestrated from the very, very top.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that in a second. Yeah.
Jeff Sessions,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like, okay, so you care enough to kill about babies that aren't born yet, but when it comes to actual babies, you rip them off, literally rip them off their mother's breast and throw them in a fucking cage.
Yeah, this is all part of the death rattle of the Republican Party. They're just grasping whatever the fuck they can get. It doesn't matter if it's consistent. They're just grabbing whatever they can in order to sustain themselves, in order to fluff the bigots and the misogynists and the homophobes and the racists. Jody, what were you thinking last night as you watch Mike Pence just steamroll right over Kamala Harris, right over Susan Page? Also, bearing in mind what we were just talking about with regard to Matthew Dowd, this ongoing misogyny that just continues to haunt us in this country, that we've got a man problem in the United States. How are you seeing all of it?
Well, I mean, like most women, obviously I expected it first off. Because especially Pence and Trump, they just don't respect women, period. So there's that problem. But, you know, like I was saying, this one woman that I know on Facebook was like, Pence won it, and I didn't like Kamala making faces at him. And it's like, it's not just men, it's women.
At least she can move her face. You can't be the face of a movement if your face doesn't move, okay?
That's funny.
Wait, sorry.
but I'm bump. It's having... you know, luckily, I grew up in a household where my dad had eight daughters, so he had to raise us equally with his three sons. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because my dad was raised completely in that time period. You know, he would have been 91 this year. 91. So, I mean, he was raised by a father who was also, a chauvinist. And, that's just how they were raised. And that's how it was. You know, men are this and that. I also have a strong mother. And his first wife was also very strong. And my oldest sister was like, Dad, you can't do this, you know. And she introduced him and my mother to the ERA back in the 70s. And they both went, no, that's a good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So Dad became a feminist by default.
Yeah.
And by the time he got to his 10th child, which is me, and his 7th daughter, he was like, no, you're going to school. You're going to be a professional. You're going to stand for yourself and you're going to learn how to do this. And, and I also went to an all-girls school for a while. And I highly recommend children being separated by gender, at least for certain classes, because teachers...
Until about the age of 20?
No. No, it's the type of class. It's not that. Women and girls are supposed to not be good at math and science. Mm-hmm. Boys are not supposed to be good at languages and history and things like that. So if you separate them from that, then the teachers won't automatically call on a boy for a calculus answer or automatically call on a girl to do the proper grammar, because that's also an inherent misogyny and just weirdness that we have. So going to an all-girls school from 7th grade to the first half of 9th grade, by the time I got to another co-ed school, I was raising my hand in science classes. I was raising my hand in math classes because I knew the answers.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and I wasn't terrified or timid of it because I was taught at 11 years old by my teachers at an all-girls school, you better know these answers or you're going to fail out of school. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole, and same with the boys' school the girls' school I went to and the boys' school that was our brother's school, now they're a co-ed school together. But it helped the boys learn how to speak different languages or be good in English class or in history class or in, things that are girly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, that's watching that debate last night just is like, okay, yeah, it's still there. You know, it's still there. She's going to have to do twice as well as he will. And like I said, this one woman, she's like, oh, Kamala was awful and she was rude and interrupting. I'm like, no, she wasn't.
It was pretty damn close in the polls. It was basically like 50-50 from the men in terms of who won the debate last night.
Right.
That's the tribalism we're looking at here with men.
Well, and he also wasn't a raving lunatic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a raving lunatic.
He didn't tear off his shirt and spit blood and bite a head off a bat.
Exactly. He was rude, but it was a very nice way.
Yeah.
He was just really nice about it.
Doesn't wash anymore. You know, too many of us have been told, I'm hurting you for your own good by those kind of people.
Yeah.
You know, it was the PE coach or the history teacher or the principal or the Sunday school teacher or just some sanctimonious white fucker that's got like kids' bodies in his crawl space. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to like preach to other people about how they should behave with their clothes off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just,
Mike.
And it didn't wash last night. It didn't, this whole just like refusing to answer questions and then tying back over to other questions and not, following instructions. I felt like it may have, affirmed people who wanted to see what they wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, in that he didn't like, turn his head all the way around and spit blood.
Yeah, yeah.
Or which speak is, in Aramaic or something.
The most dangerous form of Trumpism is that kind of Trumpism. Talking about
exactly.
Trump things and promoting Trump things, but doing it in a tone of voice that seems relatively stable. That's the danger zone that I've been concerned about for quite some time now. But going back to what you were saying, Jody, earlier is, obviously, you have no trouble communicating with men. So being segregated by gender like that for whatever those were, 3-4 years, you clearly weren't affected negatively by that. So it seems
there is a benefit to it because teachers don't realize that they have a bias either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just something that boys are good at this, girls are good at that, which is just not true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very good at the math. I always have been,
wow.
As a producer, I've had to budget. Trust me, I know how to do these things.
God, I wish I was good at math.
I can count backwards from, by 7 pretty easily. 93, 86, 79. I can keep going.
Person, woman, man.
Person, man. It was person, woman, man, camera.
TV.
TV. I honestly think that even in co-ed schools, then you separate them based on, look, teachers have a bias that they're not going to pay attention to the boys in the English class, and they're not going to pay attention to the girls in the math class. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not intentional. It's just how it is and has been. Whereas if you make it an all-boy class for that and an all-girl class for that, you're going to get people to come to the go, wow, you're really good at that. Maybe you want to be a writer when you grow up. Hey, lady, maybe you want to be a scientist. You know what I mean? It's and I think the boys were benefiting at Harvard, the high school, and the girls at Westlake were benefiting from the fact that, first off, they were, I mean, Westlake was harder than college. So, I mean, it was way hard. It was a very, very difficult school. And we were all expected to go to Stanford.
Well,
you know what I mean? In seventh grade, you're basically, you know, these are college classes in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And so they expect the girls and they expected the boys to succeed in such a manner that it didn't matter that it was just girls. And we weren't taught, you know, home ec. I never took a home ec class. I wish I had.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and then and at boarding school, I wish, oh man, they'd stopped this one. They had shop class at boarding school and then they stopped it the year I got there. And I was like, oh, and my dad was like, I totally want you to take shop. You need to learn how to work on a car. And I was like, I was so looking forward to it. And it's, oh, not offered.
Yeah.
You
know? God, I would have loved that.
My mom wouldn't let me take home ec. Mm. It's funny because it's like, she's like, you made me an amaretto cheesecake when you were nine. I knew that you were gay, and I knew, and you can already cook. You don't need to take home ec. And I was
awesome.
I'm laughing because that doesn't surprise me at all that you made an amaretto cheesecake at age nine. That is an amazing
it was
little,
awesome too.
It was very, very T-Rex detail, life detail.
No, I mean, that's what she brought that up when I came out to her a couple of years later when I was 12 or 13. I was pretty young when I came out to my mom, and she was like, "Duh."
Yeah. Well, one thing that we noticed last night was that Kamala Harris knows history a lot better than Mike Pence knows history, because her best moment was she used Abe Lincoln against Mike Pence. It was an amazing thing. She was like, Abe Lincoln was up for re-election and it was 27 days before the election and a seat became open on the Supreme Court. But Honest Abe said, it's not the right thing to do. The American people deserve to make the decision. And Mike Pence just was sitting there. You know, yeah.
I would. I don't know how he shows his face. I mean, really, like, you stood by and smiled on benevolently as the worst atrocities. I mean, real, like, human rights violations.
Yeah.
Things people should be drawn up in front of the Hague for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, you know, and a catastrophic handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. And just, like, what are you going to brag about? The economy is in the toilet. Thousands, but he was like, you know, he just lied. He's just like, we've done a great job. And it's like, I by what metric?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the question posed to him about the COVID relief and everything, and then he answered it with the abortion stuff?
Yeah. He just didn't answer. There was just a bunch of questions where he just blew right through it. And again, where was the fucking moderator about that? Because it was very clear. He went through one answer early on for a full 2 minutes, and it had... Literally, it might have been what you were just talking about. Literally 2 minutes of nothing to do with the question that was asked. But that seems to be the standard operating procedure.
Actually, I think the COVID question that was posed to him, he answered with taxes.
Okay. That's right. That's right. That's the exact one that I'm thinking of. And, you know, look... He is responsible. He and his boss are responsible for some of the most heinous things ever to be foisted upon human beings by the executive branch of government in this country. I mean, things that you got to put alongside the Trail of Tears, alongside slavery, alongside Jim Crow. Donald Trump and Mike Pence have put the entire last 4 years into that category of the worst chapters in American history. And when Kamala Harris is bringing up those things, or Susan Page is asking about those things, Mike Pence is treating it as if, you know, they're accusing him of voting for something before he voted against it, or some sort of procedural. Right. It's just, he doesn't comprehend. He never really addressed just the heinous, awful, unforgivable, irredeemable things that his administration is responsible for. It's just like this
bland, same, blah, bland,
ordinary
white rice,
yeah,
popcorn with no salt.
Susan, ordinary. Ordinary, generic, ordinary. Basically, Mike Pence last night.
I feel like his media team or his debate prep team is on the skeleton crew, because I do feel like some of his talking points last night were just really straight from 2009. Like, dude, you got to change your talking points every 6 months or every 6,000 miles as prescribed by your manufacturer. You know? Your mileage may vary, but it's, you know, the whole just like liberal. Like he kept saying liberal like it was a pejorative.
And speaking of old school, did you notice he went back to like 1987 or something like that by mentioning in his first response, he brought out the Joe Biden plagiarism allegations, which was more about an allegation against one of Joe Biden's speechwriters than Joe Biden himself. But okay, we're rewinding to 1987 because, you know, the Trump people, they don't like to look backwards, or at least according to Dr. Conley. We don't look backwards, guys. We're not going to answer questions about 2 days ago. But we're going to bring up things from 1987, meanwhile.
Again, I think that was one of those things from the Fox News universe that anybody tuning in casually was like, what is he talking about? You know, like yelling in hieroglyphics again.
Well, there's
Banana Yoshimoto. Like, what are you saying, dude? Like,
my main takeaway from last night's debate was at least the Republic wasn't destabilized. That was, right? I think, the most important part of that debate. It wasn't like last week's debate.
Not a huge hurdle to cross, but an important one.
That's right. Last night, horrible misogynistic things from Mike Pence aside, it was relatively normal. You know, it was weird. It was off-putting in a sense. Like, oh my God, he's not screaming like a goblin the whole time. Mm-hmm. Well, at least there's that. Look how low we've reduced our standards, by the way.
No kidding.
At least he wasn't a goblin. That's our standards now for presidential debate.
He didn't bite anyone's head off on stage.
That's exactly right. Well, did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score and have no idea how to get them? Well, ScoreMaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. Forget raising your credit score just a few points. That's weak. The average ScoreMaster user raises their credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. 61 points. Say your credit score was in the high 500s to mid 600s when you bought that new car. If you'd gone to ScoreMaster first and raised your credit score just the average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Visit ScoreMaster.com/offer. ScoreMaster.com/offer. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
You know who this is?
Yeah.
This is David and Astral Summer.
And Dave.
Yeah.
Who kicked ass on this song. His guitar parts, it just totally gave this song a whole new dimension of like, and then I had to add an extra layer of vocals because I was like, this is on fire now.
Yeah. You know? Who's your recording partner again? Who is it?
His name is Dave Martin.
Dave Martin. Okay. God, I should remember
Dave
that.
And David.
My editor-in-chief, before I became editor-in-chief on the campus newspaper in college, my editor-in-chief before that was a guy named Dave Martin. I should be able to remember that. I don't know why it keeps popping out of my head. But yeah, this is Astral Summer.
He's actually a child behaviorist, which makes him uniquely qualified to work with me.
Yeah. Are you putting this up on your Bandcamp page? Is this up already?
It's up.
It's up there now. Oh, my God.
So.
Okay. Well, go support Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Are you not sure now? Would you like to revise your statement, Mr. Ferguson?
Let me just get this fly off my head.
He won't raise taxes.
No. What do you think, Mike Pence, of that song? Mike Pence weighing in. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. All right, go away. Get the fly away. Get the fly swatter. All right, good.
I feel like lost in the wash here, in all the noise. Joe Biden made an amazing speech the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he talked about
the one in Gettysburg. And,
Yeah. Was, I mean, really. And then, like, what's his face showed up yesterday on camera with that fucking shit bronzer on again.
Yeah.
That makes him like, I feel like the makeup artists are now against him. Like,
they were always against him.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I feel like lately it's been especially lurid. Maybe it's to the ghastly pallor of his skin underneath because he's on so many bizarre medications and antibody therapies. And he's probably going to just grow another head.
My favorite thing about whenever he puts another video out, and by the way, he put another video out about 20 minutes ago. So
it looks weird. It looks like it's in front of a green screen.
Yeah, it looks like he's standing like way out in the middle of the South Lawn of the White House. And he did another one earlier today, but there's a second one that he shot out on the lawn of the White House.
It doesn't look like he's outside. It looks like he's inside and in front of a green screen to me. The way the lighting is, the focus of it.
He's like the worst cable access host in the world right now.
It just doesn't.
I mean, he was on camera yesterday with the shit bronzer on, saying that he's got a cure for COVID, and he's all manic and euphoric and nuts.
I haven't heard how he sounds on that White House lawn thing. Yeah. That will let you know whether it's interior or an exterior, because you'll hear ambient sound if it's outside. And if they're stupid enough, which they're not that bright anyway, they won't add ambient noise if it was shot indoors.
See, this is what I love about these Trump videos that he's making since he got out of the hospital, is now every time a new one drops, everyone on Twitter like hovers around it and starts examining it frame by frame, like the Zapruder footage. And mainly it's like to find the chunks of white spooge that fly out of his mouth. Because the one yesterday, when he was kind of in partial shade in the former Rose Garden in the Melania Trump Industrial Foliage Cemetery, he was...
I'm sorry, that tickled me.
He had like...
Cemetery.
It's so Eastern European. That's the joke. He had some kind of amorphous white spooge all around his lips, like on his lips, and then it was gathering around the corner of his mouth, and then I just kept getting hit with DMs all afternoon. People with screen grabs, sending me screen grabs of the wad of spooge, of the white chalky material flying out of his mouth. Ew. Like, thank
Is
you.
Is thrush a side effect of steroids or any of the other?
Well, I do know that. Did we cover this already? The conjunctivitis is a pink eye side effect of COVID? Yeah.
Yeah, we think it is. Yeah.
Okay.
You think the president's going around farting on his AIDS face? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Seriously, though, I mean, who is telling him he looks good with the brown bronzer? I mean, it's like.
No one. The reason he does it, it's part of his brand. That's why he puts the orange face makeup on now. And it started kind of when he started The Apprentice. Like, he's like, oh, that TV makeup looks really good. I'm going to use that all the time. Not realizing that on TV, you only see him sitting there at the boardroom table, but out and interacting with people and doing things around the way. You see all the seams of it, and it looks ridiculous. Like that one photo, the famous photo of him walking across the lawn, where it just looks like an orange mask of Trump on someone else's head. It's right.
And it's coming off on his collar.
Yeah, but it's part of what he thinks people expect of him and his brand. It's like, we expect Donald Trump to have the orange makeup, the weird dairy swirl hair, the oversized suits, the really long tie, the same gestures. He is nothing if not disciplined when it comes to presenting the brand, because that is the centerpiece of whatever remains of his quote unquote wealth. I mean, it's not really wealth given that he's so deeply in debt, but the fact is that his fame, his notoriety.
That's kind of
notoriety.
Like Napoleon Dynamite being really disciplined about dancing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's like the brand, all the elements of the brand is there, but they're all shitty.
But
the
now.
Yeah.
I mean, the brand things right now are now all being amplified by the steroids. So the obnoxious behavior, the anger management, all the rest of it. What steroids do is just amplifies all the things that are already there. I hate to go down the road of being Captain Scary Pants again, but I am deeply concerned that either we're going to be invaded or our foreign enemies are going to do something else that, you know, because America is basically out to lunch right now.
Who the hell is going to invade us, though?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of...
We're a very heavily armed populace. We may be disorganized, but there's a whole bunch of us, and it's a big-ass country.
Yeah, well, but speaking, we're not all Wolverines. You know, this isn't Red Dawn.
I'm thinking more in terms of terrorists, specifically. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Asymmetrical warfare is different than an invasion. An invasion would be like Russia, like, occupying our country. And that's just, like, they don't have the resources. Yeah. Nobody does. It's too big.
Right. Well, there's other things that they can do. Obviously, it seems
cyber
like...
attacks.
Yeah, but it seems like our intelligence community, based on that video that was put out a couple of days ago, seems like the intelligence community is on top of the whatever Russian cyber shenanigans they're trying to pull right now. So... I'm a little encouraged by that. And you know what? I'm also, honest to God, putting aside Captain Scary Pants for a second, I'm really encouraged by where the polls are. I've talked about this a couple times already this week. Bears repeating that I was deeply concerned that Donald Trump was going to get a sympathy vote. But you know what? Two things happened. First of all, he didn't get the sympathy vote. But part of the reason he didn't get the sympathy vote is because he fucked up his own positive COVID diagnosis. He fucked up every step of the way. There were things that he could have done throughout that process that he didn't do to parlay that little bud of sympathy that was emerging on whatever it was, Thursday into Friday last week. So he's in this predicament because of his own fucked upness. I mean, Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump. That is the rule. But the one thing that Donald Trump has also done in the course of all of this, in the course of pursuing his brand or whatever fucked up impulses that he has, apparently Liberate Michigan was taken seriously by a bunch of fucking domestic terrorists who were plotting to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, who's the governor of Michigan. FBI says it thwarted what was described as a plot to violently overthrow the government and kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The alleged plot involved reaching out to members of Michigan militia, according to a federal affidavit filed Thursday. Can we stop calling them militias?
Thank you.
Militia is in the Constitution as something that's required. These are
and regulated.
Yeah. These are terrorist groups.
These are domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The court filing also alleges the conspirators twice conducted surveillance at Whitmer's personal vacation home and discussed kidnapping her to a, quote, secure location in Wisconsin to stand, quote unquote, trial for treason prior to the November 3 election. So this is one of the most deeply concerning stories that we have seen probably to date in terms of this Trump crisis, where now there are domestic terrorist groups, white men, who are plotting to kidnap Democrats and to put them into kangaroo court trials. And obviously we know where these kangaroo trials for treason, which is what they were going to try her for, where that eventually leads. Obviously they would call, you know, define her as guilty and say, well, she must be hanged or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. This is how fucking dangerous these people are. And Donald Trump thinks they're his base. That's what's so terrifying about it. Donald Trump refuses to condemn groups like this. And I bet you $1,000 he will not condemn this, whatever it is, whatever group did this. He will not say a fucking negative word about them or what they were trying to do.
Nope, these he won't.
Domestic terrorists.
He knows that they're his, they are his base. They're his main voting block.
Exactly. Exactly.
He supports Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I mean, not only does he support them, but he ordered Homeland Security to not say any negative things about Kyle Rittenhouse.
Right.
I mean, that was an actual thing where the administration officials were ordered not to be negative about about a mass shooter in Kenosha.
The whole DHS needs to just be burned to the ground.
Yeah, no shit. And,
I mean, really, we have agencies. It was redundant on top of the NSA, on top of the CIA, on top of the FBI. It just was a complete... I mean, and just... The whole like homeland concept is so to me
it's so
very
German
Nazi. Yeah.
Yes, it's so Germany in the 30s. Yeah, that when they named it Homeland Security, I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
right.
This huge overcorrection for 9/11 is what the Department of Homeland Security was.
Exactly.
I mean, what they did is they thought maybe we need one cabinet level department that houses all of these different intelligence agencies, whether it's ATF on up to Border Patrol,
also,
ICE,
like, disaster
is all into there. Yeah, exactly. And it's it doesn't need to be that way. You know, it wasn't a matter of a lack of some sort of Homeland Security Department that caused 9/11. It was a matter of intelligence officials and especially the Bush White House in the early days not putting two and two together about what was going on. Because there were people like Richard Clark, who was screaming to Condoleezza Rice and whoever would listen about Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda up to fucking no good. They were training pilots how to take off but not to land. I mean, and everyone's going, well, whatever. We're thinking about China, China. And so it was all about that entire summer. It was about Bush and China and whatever. And so they just ignored what happened. It had nothing to do with, oh, Jesus Christ, if we had only had a Department of Homeland Security to stop this. No, no.
That's you know, not I feel like it's it was some point in the Bush years or prior to that when Fox News became a thing that the Republican Party left the runway, factually. And
yeah.
Let ideology start to lie to them about the facts on the ground and them choosing to believe the ideology, which leads to, like, wars in Iraq.
Yeah.
And, you know, committees to investigate the 3 million voters who voted quote-unquote illegally in 2016. Mm-hmm. Like, they were chasing unicorns here. And I feel like this should have been the moment that America went, oh, man, ideology and facts on the ground, COVID-19, who am I going to listen to?
Yeah.
PR or science?
Mm-hmm.
And it just – it's so disheartening to me that so many people have opted for PR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it makes them feel better. Mm-hmm. And it just, like –
Have you got? Do either of you guys have HBO?
Oh yes.
Have you watched Agents of Chaos?
No. Is it good?
It's documentary. Watch it. It's it's good.
Is it gonna make me shit myself?
It's maddening to a certain extent.
It's really gross.
But it's rude. You don't have to do that. unless it's your thing, Bob. I mean, if it's your thing, that's so fine. You know, but. No, it's a documentary, and I watched the Comey thing, and then I watched Agents of Chaos, and wow, it's the people that really need to see it probably won't, but it's quite frightening.
What would you give the Comey miniseries, the 2-part miniseries?
It was good. It was, you know, they obviously put him in as good a light as they could.
Yeah,
I can't with that. I still feel like
it got me angry though. It got me mad again at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Peter Strzok stuff was interesting with him and Lisa Page and how they portrayed those two.
Made me oogie, all of that.
Yeah, it was a little oogie, but it just, you know, Jeff Daniels was wonderful because he's a wonderful actor.
Yes, of course.
But I thought that, you know, I don't feel sympathy for Jim Comey.
woo, woo.
And they tried to do that with him. I mean, they did. They put him in the, oh, he's getting crap from Clinton people. Oh, he's getting crap from Trump people. Oh, he's getting praise from Clinton. Oh, he's, you know what I mean? It's like a whole, oh, poor Jim Comey. No, he knew what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have done it. He was, yes, absolutely, there was pressure, and New York was part of the problem. Hi, Spencer Garrett.
Yeah. oh, yeah, Spencer Garrett was in that. That's right.
He was. Yeah. He was one of the bad New York City guys. Mm-hmm. I should tell him I saw that. So, I mean, it's, you know, it wasn't anything informative to me because I paid attention, and it was basically like, you know, hey, Malcolm Nance's book. There it is. same with Agents of Chaos. I mean, it's full on Malcolm Nance in a documentary.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Agents of Chaos is an important documentary for everybody to see, no matter where you are in the spectrum of politics. Mm-hmm. But I know that people that are falling for it, no matter where they fall in politics, are not going to watch this. And if they watch it, they're not going to believe what's true.
Well, you know, we've managed to get this far without talking about Donald Trump specifically, so we're going to do that in just a second. But before we get into Donald Trump and why he's not going to participate in the second debate, let's talk about Plexiderm, of course. Now that we've said goodbye, to summer,
Plexiderm,
it's time for things. It's time for everything to get back into the old autumn groove. Everything is flavored with pumpkin spice and the leaves are falling to their deaths. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time for you, the time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduce wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines, number 11s, and crow's feet too. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. And by the way, the results are going to last for hours, so you can take the family apple picking and look your best the whole time. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Lies, jealousy, darling, can't you see? Keeping secrets, it's tearing us apart. Trust, honesty, why can't we be honest, true, and straight from the heart? Won't find love if we treat it like a game. Need to tell the truth.
This is a brand new Renee Trossman. This is called Meant to Be right here. Yeah, I wanted to get some of the horns in here.
Turn those horns up again. Let me hear that horn section.
So great. Yeah, Renee actually wrote to me and said, make sure you play the first verse so you can hear the horns in there. The horns are really good. Another great song from Renee Trossman.
With live strings.
What's that?
I really want to do that. I want to record with strings, like a live
string. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a new thing. Cello is like
horn section.
Cello is really hot these days. You get like four cello players in the same room. Holy shit. That really, and it makes it sound cinematic. In fact, the entire score for Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, was done basically on cello. Like the most memorable sections were just cello music. It was just breathtaking and chills inducing to listen to that. But let's see
cello
what else.
Cello has a huge range, is the thing. It can sound as high as a violin almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's not, you know, it's
amazing. One of my favorite musical instruments. I played cello for a couple of years in grade school. I just
did you?
Yes, aww. I did. I played everything. I played cello, saxophone, piano, guitar, bass. Okay, so Donald Trump continues to be the super spreader. He says he's not going to participate in the second presidential debate on October 13th. That's next week, because it will be virtual instead of in person. And he said to Maria Bartiromo, who's Lando's co-pilot on Return of the Jedi. I always have to work that one in there. It's a salute to my friend Chez. I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. It's not what debating is all about, Trump said. It's ridiculous. He's concerned that they're going to mute him. He's concerned that they're going to turn his microphone off when he's acting like a fucking prick, because he is a fucking prick who would never shut up, regardless of the format of the debate.
I mean, it would be so funny, because tell him, no, we're not going to mute your mic, so that he thinks everybody can hear him, but we just see him flailing.
And running his fat mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, right, right.
I mean, if he's alive next Tuesday, I mean,
this week is the beginning of his second week that we know of him being sick. And
this is typically when people
get sick. I mean, a friend of mine is getting her COVID test at 3:30 her time this afternoon. She's been sick for 19 days, like really, really sick. So she's getting a strep test, a flu test, and a COVID test. But she's been down, you know, and it sounds like she's got COVID. I mean, she's just really, really sick. And most people, when you have the flu, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks tops, you know, a bad cold, a couple of weeks tops, you know, but you're usually not her. How she's been describing herself, it sounds worse than strep throat or something. She can't get out of bed. She can't breathe. I mean, it just sounds like it's probably, I hope it's not. I hope it's something like it is pneumonia, but it's treatable kind of thing, you know, not COVID pneumonia. Yeah. You know, it's just, and he's still on steroids. So his immune system, and then he's got these antibodies. I love that they said he tested positive for antibodies that he was given.
Right. Congratulations.
There were human stem cells from aborted fetuses and things.
Oh, yeah.
They are fucking, I mean, everything they touch, they beclown and turn to shit and trivialize and mm-hmm. I don't, you know, we should be, if we're hearing from doctors at Walter Reed, we should probably need like someone to explain the medical terminology to us, not some clown who's just standing there like mouthing platitudes and lawyering.
The thing is that this is why there's Trump fatigue right now. People are sick and fucking tired of this ongoing, well, you never know which way he's going to go. Just when you think he's going to zig, he's going to zag. What's he going to do next? What's the next episode of the Trump show? Is he really sick? Is he really faking it? Is he on this drug or that drug? Or is he about to die? Or is he okay? This is the shit that everyone is sick of. This is one of the reasons why his poll numbers are collapsing. People are sick and fucking tired of this ongoing, look at me, look at me, look at me, because all this translates, even with the debate, and am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? Am I going to participate? Or is Joe Biden going to participate? This is what people have just become fed up with, and especially in the midst of a crisis, this goddamn tabloid exploitation. He is acting like he is a tabloid celebrity who constantly needs to get his name on the front page of the National Enquirer or whatever the fucking tabloid is in order to, you know, keep his Q score up or whatever. But at the presidential level, in presidential politics, it wears on people much faster than in any other form of celebrity. And that's what he is doing right now. That's one of the things he's making worse for himself, is continuing to play this game.
The stock market the other day, when he was like, no more negotiations on relief. And it was just like, the bottom fell out. And I was like, this is exactly what Bob was talking about a year ago. And everyone's like, you're crazy. He's not manipulating the stock market.
Of course he is.
Yeah, right. I know.
Of course he is.
I know. Well,
like, you're such a conspiracy theorist. I can't even listen to your show anymore.
Wait, who said that? Who said that? Because I'm going to ban them from listening to the show.
You're not allowed
to
listen.
That's right.
I'll show them.
I love pretending that I have the power to ban people from listening. That's one of my favorite little
This show is offered for free, at least the Tuesday and Thursday shows. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. Yes, thank you.
As ninjas, Jody can abduct them, give them a microchip that, like, as soon as the show starts, if they're not allowed,
they can't literally hear it.
That's right.
And they're in excruciating pain.
We need to work on that. Meanwhile, Donald Trump blamed the Gold Star families for his positive COVID experience now. It wasn't for a while. It was soldiers and first responders. That's the first people he blamed for having COVID, is his interactions with soldiers and first responders. Yes, exactly. And now it's Gold Star families. Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump. Now he's blamed. My God. Of all people to go after, right in the way. People are still remembering Suckers and Losers, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's still a fucking thing. Thank God that people are remembering that, because they have to know. They have to remember what kind of fucking monster this guy is. So now he's attacking Gold Star families for being super spreaders themselves. He can't fucking take responsibility for fucking anything. He's the one who was refusing to wear masks. He's the one who only took tests on a quote-unquote regular basis, not on a daily basis like he's been saying. You're always talking about, I took a test today, I took a test right before this Trump show, I took a test right before this rally, and believe me, it's not fun, it's not, you know, took the test. He thinks the test is a preventative, like it actually makes him immune somehow or something. It's just completely out to fucking lunch. Another thing, people are sick and fucking tired of. People are sick of the fucking shenanigans. And obviously, you got 42% or whatever it is now, 30 to 40%. They're baked in. They're not moving. But by and large, the real people in the world, the normals in the world, in the United States, are just sick of the fucking shenanigans. And that's
where a lot of people over 65 have switched over to Biden.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's Biden's up 21 points on one of the polls of people over 65, which is huge.
Yes. Yes. Meanwhile,
it's, you know, crazy that this whole, like, let's kill grandma for the economy strategy is not paying off for them.
Amazing how that didn't work out. It's also about, hey, let's take away their Social Security too. Not only are we going to kill you, but also at the same time, we're going to eliminate the payroll tax so Social Security goes bankrupt by 2023. And that's freaking people the fuck out. It's just this ongoing low frequency stress that should not be coming from the White House ever, ever, ever. And it's going to crawl up Donald Trump's ass very, very soon and nest there and eventually explode. That's what's that's what Donald Trump has done to himself. Now we learn that Trump forced his doctors to sign NDAs.
Of course.
This was back when he did that emergency visit to Walter Reed the last time, which is still a fucking mystery.
I think NDAs are just should be illegal. I think it's a...
Well, the NDAs that I wouldn't have a problem with are like, you've written the movie Get Out. Now, yeah. Nobody say the ending. Or, you know, don't talk about what happened in one of the Star Wars movies when it comes to Han Solo kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, and then like with propriety, like with code for, you know, software and things like that, I understand that kind of thing that you should not, that's information that should be like the Coca-Cola recipe. You know what I mean? Things like that. The recipe for the
trade secrets. Basically.
Oh yeah. Trade secrets.
That should be that. But anything like what Donald Trump has people do.
Yeah.
that's, and I know California was trying to pass a law stating that if you sign an NDA and there's illegality that you have witnessed, that NDA is void.
Yeah.
Like sexual harassment, rape, you know, things like that.
That's smart.
You know, I don't know if it has gotten past a committee. I know they were trying to do it a few years ago. I don't know what happened to it, but that should be anything. Like if you sign an NDA and then something that you witnessed, like everybody at Fox News with Roger Ailes,
yeah,
was right. illegal, yeah. Then the NDA should not count. They shouldn't matter. So you sign this NDA and I can now harass you all I want.
And that's the whole point of the NDAs from Donald Trump are to deceive people. It's not about keeping secrets. It's about deception.
And to me, that seems like you're just going ahead and stating outright that you have the intent to do things that are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes,
criminality.
And then he goes, I'm the most transparent president in the history of the world. No president is more transparent than I am. He's got to say it two different ways because he keeps repeating himself on endless loop. One little bit of good news from the Biden camp. The negative ads are back up. Suffice to say, Joe Biden's running his negative ads against Donald Trump again, which thank fucking God that decision was made.
People were calling on him to suspend his campaign when Trump's diagnosis got announced. And I was just like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Fox News isn't going to stop. The surrogate campaign's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep spreading disinformation, and the campaign needs to be on top of it.
There's a whole bunch of people who just were on the wrong side of that thing last week.
Yeah.
And it was a shame to see it because Rachel Maddow was one of them. And, my thing with what Rachel was saying Thursday night about, you know, your uncle who has lung cancer and why would we shame our uncle with lung cancer? Well, it would be the same as if our uncle with lung cancer gave everyone around him also lung cancer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So it's really difficult to forgive someone like Donald Trump, irrespective of what the situation is. It's impossible to have sympathy for the devil. So, but let's see what else. We're going to talk about Jeff Sessions and the family separation over on the Postmortem Show. Plus, we've got a brand new song from Nick Lutzko that we're going to play here about Spirit Halloween, which, by the way, I thought the name of those stores was Halloween Spirit. But I guess it's not. I guess it's Spirit Halloween. What a weird title for a bunch of pop-up stores. And also, good news about Jack Berkman and Jacob Wall. We're going to talk about that, too.
Scumbags.
Oh, man, there's so many things.
Schadenfreude-licious.
Many things we didn't get to. We got some poll numbers, too, to talk about as well. It's going to be an action-packed post-mortem show over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Please subscribe for $5 a month. I've got my hands cupped together. I'm begging you, please. I don't know why I'm doing that. Just do me a favor, subscribe to the Postmortem Show on our Patreon page. Also, make sure to support Astral Summer over at astralsummer.bandcamp.com, which is David's new music project. And I can't wait to play the whole song in the Indie Music Countdown at the end of the month.
I'm glad you like that one.
God, I fucking love that song. It is so fucking good. It is called, I think I forgot to mention the title of it when we were talking about it.
It's called Assault and Flattery.
Assault and Flattery. There it is. Meanwhile, from-the-bunker.com is Jody Hamilton's website. David is also at patreon.com/TRX Report. And make sure to
get... I got a new episode with Jody up.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, you finally got that worked out, didn't you?
All right. I've got another episode going up tomorrow where I interview the lead singer of a band called Vision Video.
Sounds good.
Really cool guy. All right, bye.
Now that you've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. Everything is flavored with pumpkin spice, of course, and before you know it, the leaves will start changing color. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time just for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Number 11s, whatever that is, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. And by the way, the results are going to last for hours, so you can take the family apple picking and look your best the whole damn time. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon and costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your friends. You can try a 6-application trial for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.